Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Welcome you in the Saviour's name. We trust that you will be blessed by joining with us today and that you will be encouraged as you hear the word of the Lord. Let us commence with prayer. Heavenly Father, we approach thee today in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. We thank thee that he came into this world to give his life that ransom for many. We thank thee that we have redemption through his blood. As we come to thee today, we pray for thy blessing upon our time together, that thou will minister to our hearts through thy precious word. We thank thee that thou hast not left us in darkness, but thou hast given us thy word to be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So, Father, we pray for the forgiveness of our sins, a strengthening of our faith, and we pray that thou would be glorified even through our time together today. We ask all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Our Bible reading is from 2 Samuel chapter 1, and we'll be reading from verses 24 to 27. In this chapter, an Amalekite brings news to David of the defeat of Israel, the death of King Saul, and his son Jonathan. After David receives this news, he gives this lamentation over the death of Saul and Jonathan. But we're picking up in the middle of that lamentation from verse 24. David says, "Ye daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you in scarlet with other delights, who put on ornaments of gold upon your apparel. How are the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle? O Jonathan, thou wast slain in thine high places. I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. How are the mighty fallen, and the weapons of war perished." Amen. We trust the Lord will bless the reading of his precious word to us here today. Our second hymn is the hymn, "There Will Never Be a Sweeter Story, Story of the Saviour's Love Divine." The text of scripture I would like to leave with you today is found in 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 26. And it's the lamentation that David gives over his friend Jonathan. "Thy love to me was wonderful." Now, Jonathan was the son of King Saul, but David was chosen by God to be the next king of Israel, replacing King Saul. So you and I might imagine that there would be conflict between David and Jonathan. Jonathan is the heir apparent, but David is the Lord's anointed. But despite this apparent conflict of interest, there appears to be not just a good relationship, but a great relationship between David and Jonathan. These two men demonstrate the greatest of friendships. And of course, that friendship is based upon a common faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. With David and Jonathan, we have for us a pattern of what a friendship should be. But more than this, we have a shadow of Christ and his people. Now, we often think of the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord, our God, our Saviour, our Master, our Judge, and all these titles are true and proper. But the Bible gives another title concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is that of a friend. In the New Testament book of James, chapter 2, it says that Abraham was called the friend of God. In Proverbs 18, we're told that there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, who we know to be the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 15, the Savior said to his disciples, "Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you." And in Luke chapter 7, the enemies of Christ made this accusation against him that he was a friend of publicans and sinners. So a friend is one of the titles that the Lord Jesus Christ has for his people. Well, in this passage that we've read briefly here today, David is informed of the death of his dear friend Jonathan. And as David is recalling his friend Jonathan, he is flooded with memories of the love that his friend Jonathan had towards him. And so it is, dear friends, that whenever we recall the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, one of the things that should be eminent in our minds is the great love that the Lord Jesus Christ has for us. David, recalling Jonathan, said, "Thy love to me was wonderful." And so whenever we recall the Lord Jesus Christ, we should be able to recall his great love to us. Perhaps one of the problems that we have in our life is that we don't meditate enough upon the person of Christ, that we don't think often enough about his love for us. For the truth is, if we spent more time thinking about the love wherewith he has loved us, we would be less inclined towards sin. We would be less inclined towards our own ambitions and desires. We would spend more time in his presence, listening to his voice through the word and communicating with him in prayer. I want to speak here today upon that phrase of David, "Thy love to me was wonderful." And there's four headings I want to leave with you here today. First of all, I want you to notice the existence of his love. Whenever David heard of the death of Jonathan, he didn't have to doubt whether Jonathan loved him or not. He said, "Thy love to me was wonderful." The love of Jonathan was beyond doubt. David had experienced that love on many occasions during their friendship together. And then whenever Jonathan passes from this world, David is able to recall the love of Jonathan and not doubt it. And so it is, the Christian is one who has no need to doubt the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Christian is one who is able to come to the Word of God and know with full assurance and full confidence that the Lord Jesus Christ loves us. He tells us in Isaiah chapter 43, "Since thou wast precious in my sight, I have loved thee." In Jeremiah 31, he declares, "I have loved thee with an everlasting love." So, dear friend, dear child of God, you don't need to be in doubt today, wondering whether the Lord Jesus Christ loves you. He declares in his word that he does love you. So that doubt should be banished from our minds. Notice also the desire that is expressed here in the existence of his love. David says, "Thy love to me." David doesn't say, "Jonathan, thine actions to me, thy pleasantries to me." No, he says, "Thy love to me." Now, we know that love is the strongest of emotions between two people. And that is what David is recalling from Jonathan towards him, the strongest of emotions between two people. And so it is, the Christian is one who is able to recall the love of Christ, the strongest possible emotion that there is. We are able to recall that the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't just know us, he hasn't just made us, but he loves us. He has that desire of love towards his people who are precious in his sight. But notice the direction of this love. David says, "Thy love to me was wonderful." David doesn't say, "Jonathan, thy love towards my family was wonderful. Jonathan, thy love towards Israel was wonderful." No, he says, "Jonathan, thy love towards me personally was wonderful." And so the Christian is one who is able to think upon Christ and able to say of the Lord Jesus, "Thy love to me was wonderful." For the Bible teaches that if we had been the only one who had ever sinned, the only one who had strayed from God, that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, would have come and found us, that one lost sheep, to bring us back unto himself. The love of the Lord Jesus to us is wonderful. Now, we might pause for a moment here and ask that very important question: why would the Lord Jesus Christ love me? Whenever we think of our sinfulness, whenever we think of our disobedience and our rebellion, whenever we think of all those times we have blasphemed his name and broken his holy law, we could well wonder why he loves us. But dear friend, it's a miracle, and it is indeed a mystery, why the Lord would set his love upon any one of us. But rather than try to explore that mystery, we should take the comfort of this great truth, that the Lord Jesus Christ loves his people who are precious in his sight. But maybe a more important question I could ask you here today is, does love exist from you to him? It's one thing to know about the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's another thing to love him. So I ask you today, do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, secondly, here today, we've thought of the existence of his love. Let us think of the evidence of his love. And there was evidence of the love that Jonathan had for David. We see, first of all, the provision that Jonathan made for David. Whenever David had killed Goliath, he was compelled by Saul to come and live in his house. But David had a problem. David was wearing the rags of a shepherd. He couldn't come into the king's house wearing his shepherd clothing. So we read in 1 Samuel 18, verse 4, that Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. So in order for David to come into the royal house, he needed royal garments. He didn't have any. So Jonathan stripped himself and gave his royal garments to David so David could enter the king's house. And dear friends, that's the provision that the Lord Jesus Christ has made for us. He came into this world and he stripped himself of his royal garments, and he went to that cross and he took our filthy, sin-stained garments upon himself, and he bore the wrath of God for them so that he could adorn us in his robe of perfect righteousness. That is why the Christian is one who stands before God without spot or stain, because they are clothed in the perfect righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice also the protection that Jonathan gave to David. Oh, whenever Saul was angry, he threatened to kill David, and he sought his life on a number of occasions. But Jonathan made a promise to protect David from the wrath of his father. And that is what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. We deserve to face the wrath of God for our sins and our rebellion and all our iniquities. But the Lord Jesus Christ has stood in our place. He hung upon that cross of Calvary and took the wrath of God on our behalf. That is the protection that Christ gives to his beloved people. But then notice the promotion of David. Jonathan recognized that David was to be king ahead of him. He could have seen David as an enemy. He could have fought with David and sought to eliminate David, but he didn't. In fact, Jonathan promoted David above himself. 1 Samuel 18, verse 3, it says, "Jonathan and David made a covenant because he," that is Jonathan, "loved him as his own soul." So Jonathan, because he loved David, he promoted David above himself. He promoted David and promised to look after David and protect him, even from his own father. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ has promoted his own beloved people. He has promoted us from the gutter and mire of sin. He has promoted us from that broad road that leads to destruction. He has promoted us to be heirs with him of the grace of life, to have that adoption into the family of God, to have that place in heaven seated with him. The Lord Jesus Christ gives us a great display of his love for us. That's the evidence of his love. Notice thirdly here today, the expression of his love. David says of Jonathan, "Thy love to me was wonderful, wonderful." He doesn't say, "Jonathan, thy love to me was nice. Thy love to me was okay. It was satisfactory." No, he uses the word wonderful. And I'm sure that as David is lamenting the passing of his friend Jonathan, his mind is taken back to that last encounter they had together. That is often the case when a loved one passes away. Our mind searches for that last time that we were together and had fellowship with them. Well, David's mind is taken back to 1 Samuel 20, verse 41. Whenever David and Jonathan met together, knowing that this would possibly be the last time they see each other, David arose out of the place and he fell on his face to the ground. He bowed himself three times, and David and Jonathan kissed one another and wept one with another until David exceeded. That means that David composed himself first. So David's mind is taken back to that occasion whenever him and Jonathan were in that embrace, whenever Jonathan's tears flowed down his face and left David's shoulder wet. He remembers that time when Jonathan was unable to compose himself, knowing that this would possibly be the last time on earth that he sees David. And David's mind is taken to this occasion, and he says, "Jonathan, thy love to me was wonderful." And so it is, dear friends, whenever we think of the Lord Jesus Christ and all the love that he has demonstrated towards us, how he carried his cross up the hill of Calvary, how he was nailed to that tree and wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. Whenever that hour of, or those 3 hours of darkness fell upon him in the middle of the day and the wrath of God was poured out upon him, how he cried out, "Finished!" Can we not recall the great acts of love that the Lord Jesus Christ has displayed towards us and say, "Lord, thy love to me was wonderful"? Whenever we think of the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ in offering us that full and free salvation, can we not say his love towards us is wonderful? That's the term David used, wonderful. But notice the tense, was. Thy love to me was wonderful. David is recalling the past mercies of Jonathan, the past times of friendship. But the Christian isn't one who reflects in the past. We are not those who merely remember what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us, because we don't just have a dead Savior, we have a risen Savior, an ascended Savior, one who is seated in glory, who the Bible says is ever living to make intercession for us. The Bible teaches us that Christ is praying for us day and daily. He's interceding for us. He's watching over us. He's guiding according to our good. So whenever we think of the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't just say, "Lord, thy love to me was wonderful." We are those who are able to say, "Thy love to me is wonderful." Psalm 68, verse 19. The psalmist said, "Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation." Hebrews 7:25 says, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." So this is the expressions of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Fourthly, finally here today, notice the extent of his love. David says, "Jonathan, thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women." Now, by this stage in his life, David knew what the love of women was. He had two wives, Michal and Abigail. So he knew marital love, and marital love is one of the strongest loves that exists between two people. But David, in recalling the love of his friend Jonathan, he says, "Jonathan, thy love to me is so wonderful that it's even greater than marital love. It even surpasses the love of women," which David knew about and he was able to comprehend. How is this possible? Well, in 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 1, it says, "The soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. That means their souls, these two brothers in Christ, had such a bond and affinity for each other there. They had a mutual desire for each other's company and for companionship. And so it is that the believer's soul is one that is knit with Christ's. Many people think that being a Christian is just about going to church. Many people think that being a Christian is just about ticking a box on a prayer card or something like that. But no, dear friend, being a Christian is not just putting your hand up in a meeting, not just going out to church on the Lord's Day. Being a Christian is having your soul knit together with the soul of Christ's, to say that He is your beloved, to say that to you He is altogether lovely, the fairest of 10,000 to your souls. Being a Christian is being in a living relationship with the living Son of God, to know personally and intimately the risen Christ. That's what a Christian is. And this is the extent of the love towards us. The love of the Lord Jesus Christ passes all human love. He loves us more than our parents. He loves us more than our spouses. He loves us more than anyone. It's a real love. It's a love that we cannot fully comprehend. Well, as we come to a close here today, we can understand something of the love between Jonathan and David, but we cannot fully comprehend the love of Christ for us. But dear friends, the love of Christ is something that we should always come to meditate upon, something that whenever we meditate upon, it brings us joy and comfort and peace. There will be those times when we're tried and tested, when we're downcast, when we're despondent. Dear friends, those aren't the times to flee from Christ. Those are the times to come to Him, to meditate upon His love. And dear friends, can I just say finally, we should desire to know more of His love every day. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 3 verse 10, His great prayer was that I may know Him. And dear friend, today, may you come to know the love of Christ in all His fullness. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the great love of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He loves His people, that He desires our salvation, that He desires our growth in grace. Bless Thy word to our hearts today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.